but we're going to take a short musical break, and I wanted to offer this song in acknowledgement of Passover, a very special holiday for our Jewish friends and family. This musician uses the name Athens Boys Choir, and the song is titled Easy Heeb.
I'm the easy heaver, famous coast to coast at every JCC. Now all the girls in town want to touch this. All the bubbies in town want to this. So come on back to my place and break bread. Drink some Manischewitz, go back to my bed. You're a goyim, I'm a wayward Jew. But we go mashugan over my sabasu.
There must be something in that dumpling, cause all sharpest we be humping.
Now my bubby wanted a doctor to marry me, and you got two PhDs, one in fine and one in sexy. You cardiac arrest me each time you lay next to me.
Singing, singing. You know me, I'm the easy heat. Famous coast to coast at every JCC. Now all the girls in town want to touch this. All the bubble beats in town want some with this.
Now you're a coy boy and I'm a goy boy. Had me talking about my before we first kissed. Had me making wish lists of Hanukkah gifts. Cause we still get them behaving less than Christian.
Oi, they you gay. Let's go back to my place. Give those jeans a yours. A hasty tour of my bedroom floor.
But try to talk politics, you go Zsa Zsa Gabor.
You say we're too cute to be just. Let's go on an Olivia Cruz vacation. Let's talk Palestinian liberation. From inspiration to perspiration. We won't stop the beat till the world be changing. No, we won't stop the beat till the world be changing. And the whole time, I'll be singing.
Singing, singing.
You know me, I'm the easy heaver. Famous coast to coast at every JCC. Now all the girls in town want to touch this. All the bubbies in town want to with this. With this, with this.
Mazel tov, mazel bra on the stove.
I said Matis Yahoo on the stereo.
Now I know that Passover until spring, but I got four questions that need some answering.
Do you like this? Do you want me? Said ain't you never heard of the easy heat? Do you like this? Do you want me? Well, you bring the meat, I'll eat six cheese. Cause you know me, I'm the easy heat. Famous coast to coast at every JCC. That Hebrew school teaches pet. Even if I don't like a filth of fish. Even though I haven't been to shul in a bit. Even though my bar mitzvah money spins. Spin.
Welcome back to Out Loud, the queer culture radio show on KBOO. My name is Carla, and the song that we just heard was from Athens Boys Choir titled Easy Heeb. And that was one of the few queer Jewish songs that I could find, so I'm offering that up for Passover and a little special something for our Jewish friends and family in the community. Next, I'd like to move on to our interview for this evening, and I'd like to welcome Jefferson to the KBOO studio. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me here.
It's great to have you here. Let's start off by letting listeners know, if they're not already familiar with The Living Room, you guys have been around for a couple of years.
Yes, that's correct.
And maybe give us a little background. How did The Living Room come into existence in Clackamas County?
Yeah, so a few years ago, one of our co-founders, her name is Carolyn, she had her daughter come out to her, and she didn't know how to respond necessarily by, where to really direct her. And so they went to a few different places, and she lived down in Clackamas County and realized that going to some of the other resources in the area was a bit of a drive, and also wanted to have a place in Clackamas County for her daughter to go. And so that's kind of how The Living Room started. And it's kind of just really grown from there. So it's been really great to be able to help a lot of different teens throughout that county and, even outside of that as well.
That's great. And I do want to acknowledge for folks that don't know, here in the Portland area, there is an organization called SMRC, the Sexual Minority Youth Resource Center. And, they have some similar programming to The Living Room, but they're also very different. And just to acknowledge Smirk, for folks that aren't familiar, you can find them online. Their website, smyrc.org. And now also, let's give folks the website for the living room, just so that, because I know you guys have a calendar, you've got lots of great information on your website.
Yeah, so it is www.thelivingroomyouth.org.
Okay.
And it's the same with the Facebook page, facebook.com/thelivingroomyouth.
Okay, fabulous. So let's talk first about the alternative prom that you guys have coming up. But then I also want to talk about, I know you offer lots and lots of other services, but for folks that are interested, who is invited to the prom that you guys are planning?
Well, we plan it specifically for Clackamas teens, but if there's people within the area that are between the ages of 14 to 20 that are interested in attending prom, they're more than welcome to. And it will be taking place at Clackamas Community College at the Gregory Forum, and on April 26th from 7 to 11 p.m.
Okay, and that's a Saturday?
Yes, that is Saturday.
Okay. A couple Saturdays away.
Yep.
And so for ages 14 to 20, now do young people have to identify themselves as a gay or lesbian or bisexual person, or maybe they are more of an ally, or they're not sure?
We welcome anybody that will be respectful.
Okay.
So it is specifically designed for as a safe space for LGBTQ teens, mm-hmm. but that doesn't necessarily mean that they have to identify as that. They can be an ally. They can just want to go and have fun and be in a safe place, and that's totally fine too.
So there's no questionnaire at the door, just saying.
Nope.
Okay, great. And now, do you need volunteers for this prom?
We have a good volunteer base,
okay.
And we ask that all of our volunteers that attend youth events or are dropping or anything like that be background checked.
Okay.
So as far as that goes, I think probably at this point it'd be hard to get extra volunteers that aren't already background checked.
Okay.
But we are always looking for volunteers in the future for future events and for prom next year and things like that.
All right. So the living room does use adult volunteers, just if folks are interested.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, great. Now, what can young people expect when they come to this prom on April 26th? What's going to be happening?
Yeah, so the teens have planned the prom, and the theme is going to be fantasy. So you can dress up. You're welcome to bring a date or not. It doesn't matter what gender or sex that date is. We just want you to be there and be happy to be there. I'll be dressed as a unicorn, so that's exciting. But yeah, feel free to dress up or don't. And it's just going to be some music, some dancing. We'll probably have we're going to have a lot of different food, and there will be some face painting and pictures. It's all free, which
okay.
is really great. And just come and have some fun.
Right on. And now you mentioned that you've got enough adult volunteers for the prom itself, but are you in need of any food donations or coffee donations? I guess, are there other ways that people could support perhaps?
Definitely. We do have a caterer, but if anybody wants to donate any additional food, we'd be happy to take it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as a nonprofit, we're always looking for really any donations possible. So if you have a thought about something that you'd like to donate, even if it's in the back of your head, like maybe they might need it, let us know. And we'd be happy to at least see if it's something we can take.
Okay. And so is the best way to contact you through the living room's website, or how should people contact you?
Probably the best way would be to send us an email, and the email address is thelivingroomcoordinator@gmail.com.
Okay, perfect. And for folks that missed the website, again, it's thelivingroomyouth.org. Okay. Now let's talk about some of the other services. I know you guys have a drop-in time. What's that like?
Yeah. So we meet every Wednesday in Oregon City. And that is, again, just a safe place for teens between the ages of 14 to 20 to just come and hang out. And it's all planned by the teens. And they do a lot of really cool different activities. So for the next few weeks, we're going to be doing some prom decoration making. I know after prom, we're going to be having an alternative sex education class. We do movie nights and game nights and lots of different things. So it's a lot of fun. Also, that's free. And all that we ask from our teens for that is just show up and have fun and be respectful of everybody.
That's great. And you mentioned the other activities like games and you know, who makes the decisions on what's going on, you know, during that drop-in time?
Yeah, that is our youth advisory council does that,
okay.
Which is a group of teenagers that, you know, my contact with them is to kind of just help organize whatever they need help with. And they're the ones that make it happen. So they're the ones that come up with all the ideas, okay. Put it on the calendar and plan it all out.
All right. So even though, so Jefferson is the adult, I know listeners, you can't really see him, but he's an adult and basically you're the helper, it sounds like.
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, great. And that the young people are the ones making all the decisions. What a great model. That's exciting. And so again, the prom is coming up April 26th. And what other events do you guys have planned? Like maybe anything else over the summer?
Yeah, so we are planning to be at Pride. We'll have a float and a booth as well. And we're hopefully going to be helping to create kind of a youth space at Pride where just teens are welcome to come hang out and find out about the different resources in Portland. So we'd have that coming up in June. And then in July and August, we have what we call Summer Wellness. And it's just kind of a holistic wellness opportunity where we'll do maybe some community service, go on some hikes, get out in the outdoors a little bit. And so those are the two biggest things we have coming up in the summer. And then, of course, we have our drop-in every week and a few different activities that are in the talks. So.
Okay. Well, and I want to encourage folks to keep an eye on your website. I notice your calendar has a lot more events that we're not going to have time to talk about all that stuff. But again, folks, if you missed that website, it is thelivingroomyouth.org. And if you've just joined the conversation, my name's Carla, and I'm speaking with Jefferson, who is the adult staff / backup to the Youth Advisory Council at The Living Room, which is the safe space for young people ages 14 to 20 in Clackamas County who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, questioning, and or are an ally of those young people. Now, we talked about you guys being involved at Pride and the youth space that is down at the Pride kind of festival area downtown Portland. It's always been a really nice space. I guess I kind of peek in there, but I know adults aren't really welcome. So I think it's great that you're going to be involved with that. Is that something that maybe if a young person maybe who does not live down in Clackamas County, but is that something that a young person can get involved and help create that space at Pride?
I believe so. I know that we are talking with a few different organizations to kind of make that happen.
Okay.
So I guess maybe a shout out to some of those organizations would be ChatPDX, which is part of the Cascade AIDS Project.
Right.
I believe the Q Center is talking about that with SMRC, the Sexual Minority Youth Resource Center.
Okay.
And I think maybe a few other organizations, but those are the ones that at least I know about.
All right, cool. So yeah, if you're not familiar, ChatPDX is part of the Cascade AIDS Project, part of their youth prevention and education program. Cascade AIDS Project, their website is just cascadeaids.org. They have lots of great programming for young people, and ChatPDX is one of those services. So, and again, SMRC, the website, is smyrc.org. So happy to see all these young people coming together. I'm excited to see what else is going to be going on at the Living Room. And for folks, again, who didn't hear, the date of that alternative prom is going to be April 26th. And I know all the details are on your website, but let our listeners know one more time, where is the prom happening on the 26th?
It is at Clackamas Community College in the Gregory Forum.
Okay. So now for folks that want to get involved, again, you can find out more on the Living Room's website, thelivingroom.com. youth.org. And Jefferson, I would like to invite you and some of your youth, you know, either from the Youth Advisory Council or just some of the teens that are involved with the Living Room, to please come back to Out Loud and give us another update, maybe as we get closer to Pride, and tell us more about the awesome stuff you guys are doing down in Clackamas County. Now, before we say our goodbyes, though, I want to take just a couple moments for listeners that didn't know. There was something that was somewhat upsetting that happened on Friday down in Oregon City at the Oregon City High School. And I want to speak to this incident just a moment. And I apologize that we do not have any high school students here that can tell their own story. Last Friday was a national day of action that was youth directed at middle schools, high schools, and a lot of colleges called the Day of Silence. And it is a day when students choose to be quiet, to be silent, to show solidarity with the silencing that happens through discrimination against LGBTQ people. And so Oregon City, there was a group of young people that had been organizing for the Day of Silence, lots of preparation with school staff and school administrators. And then I want to kind of hand off the story and let Jefferson finish. So what happened at Oregon City High School last Friday?
Yeah, from what I understand, so the Day of Silence was happening and there were some other students that decided to protest the Day of Silence by wearing shirts that said things like gay is not okay and things like that. And they admitted that was directly to protest the Day of Silence. And generally, from what I understand, most of the student body responded with saying that we support the LGBTQ students. We're not okay with the gay is not okay shirts coming into our school. But then there were also students that said that their faculty didn't necessarily respond all the time. A lot of them did, but there were a few that just kind of turned a blind eye to it. But from what I've heard, the principal is working with the GSA to make plans in the future as to how to respond to things like that, and also to provide training to the teachers and the faculty about just homophobic hate speech and words and actions and how to respond to that to make their school more inviting and more welcoming and a safer place.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the name of a student club that, in case listeners don't know, GSA. A lot of high school groups will call themselves that, and it stands for Gay Straight Alliance. I know some high schools use the name QSA for Queer Straight Alliance, or a club might be called the Equality Club or the Human Rights Club, or basically, these are students that come together and form an extracurricular club around equality and gay rights or something similar, human rights, something like that. And so the Oregon City High School GSA had planned the Day of Silence activities. And I just appreciated that the anti-gay t-shirts even made it into the media. So I was impressed at seeing like, oh, there was a counter protest. And some schools have big incidences and some schools don't, but I'm glad that the living room can support, you know, these young people down in Oregon City, and what's going on in rural parts of Oregon is very, very different than what's going on here in the Portland metro area. So hopefully we'll hear some good news out of Oregon City. And again, hopefully student leadership is taking the lead on some action, and good to hear that those teachers will be getting some training as well around interrupting hate and interrupting anti-gay speech that can happen in classrooms, and unfortunately is all too familiar to a lot of students. So again, kudos to the high school students in Oregon City that did all that organizing, and hopefully we'll hear more about this news story as the administrators take some action. So we need to, unfortunately, start saying our goodbyes to Jefferson and to the living room, and want to say thank you so much for being on the show this evening. Do you have anything else that you wanted to share with our listeners, like any closing thoughts?
Just that we, at the living room, we love our teens, we love the community, and we appreciate all the support and help that we get from everybody, and we look forward to seeing what comes from the future.
Right on. Well, keep up the work, Jefferson. I know you've got a team of adults that kind of help you out behind the scene, and a big shout out to all the teens who are youth leaders, either at the living room or at SMRC or at the Chat PDX or in whatever way young people are getting involved in being leaders today. Like, we appreciate that, and we hope to see more of it. So even though we have to say goodbye to Jefferson and say goodbye to the living room for now, I do want to offer up this next song as a way to say thank you to all the teenagers who are getting involved in making a difference. We're going to hear from Joan Jett in just a moment, But before we go to our music break, I want to give you the phone number on how to call and get tickets to the Red Dress Party. Now, this opportunity for a pair of tickets, you do have to be 21 years or older because it is happening at the Sandbox PDX, which is a bar here in town. You are going to be receiving a pair of tickets to the Red Dress Party happening on April 26th. These are general admission tickets, so the event starts at 9 for you. And the one thing that is required for the person who receives these tickets, you and your guest have to wear a red dress to the party. Now, if you're not familiar with the Red Dress Party, go to the website reddresspdx.com. All the money that is made from this event is donated to charity. And this year, the beneficiaries are Our House of Portland and the Morrison Child and Family Services. So a big thank you to everyone who's raising money for the Red Dress Party this year. And if you would like a pair of tickets to go to the Red Dress Party, give us a call here at KABU. The first caller to 503-231-8032. You can have a pair of tickets to the Red Dress Party. Again, the phone number 503-231-8032. The first caller right now. So while we wait for that phone call, we're going to take a music break from Joan Jett. And this song, again, is dedicated to all the youth leaders who are working towards the change they want to see in the world right now. It's called Androgynous.
Get 'em wrong.
Welcome back to Out Loud, the queer culture radio show on KBOO. That song was titled Androgynous from Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. And that was dedicated to all the young people working towards the change they want to see in their community, in their schools right now. And want to say a big thank you to Jefferson from The Living Room for sharing all of the information that they shared with us this evening. And I also want to share the phone number, 503-231-8. If you would like a pair of tickets to the Red Dress Party happening April 26th at 9 p.m. here in Portland at the Sandbox PDX. Now, the one requirement for both people who go with these tickets, you have to wear a red dress to the party. But if you'd like to go, give us a call, 503-231-8032. For more information, you can go to their website, reddresspdx.com. Now, next, we need to say our goodbyes to Out Loud, and we're going to transition into This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian News Magazine. My name is Carla. Thank you so much for listening. We do this for you. You can email us here at the show. The email address is outloudradio@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook. Do a search for KBOO Out Loud. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for This Way Out. Until next time, stay proud and live out loud.
People think that gays shouldn't be allowed to play sports or they're too soft. From the looks of it, I know Michael Sam isn't soft and Jason Collins isn't, and for one, I'm not soft.
As queer people, we've been rubbed out of history, and I wanted to create a way to share our public commemorative markers. And I'm always surprised for myself how emotional it is to actually do the rubbing.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Saudi cops bust 35 gay partygoers to promote virtue. Coming out is a slam dunk for a top-tier U.S. college basketball player. And the gay rub collects impressions of history. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Michael Allen.
And I'm Carol Myers.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending April 12, 2014. Saudi Arabian media reported the arrest this week of 35 men for being at a gay party at a beach resort in the seacoast city of Jeddah. The men were detained by the Commission for the Promotion of Virtue and Prevention, the kingdom's religious police. Some 4,000 officers patrol the streets of Saudi Arabia day and night to enforce strict Islamic law, including dress codes and the separation of the genders. Law enforcement authorities claim that the men at the gay party were all wearing dresses, although a complaint from neighbors about loud music is what drew the initial police attention. Consensual adult same-gender sex is punished in Saudi Arabia with flogging, chemical castration, imprisonment, or even death. Trans men and women suffer the same fate. Not all arrests by the religious police necessarily lead to prosecution in Saudi Arabia, but detainees are identified in the files as gay, which can lead to lifelong financial and sometimes sexual extortion. If word gets out, they can also be fired from their jobs and even targeted for death by members of their own families who fear being shamed. There have been no further details about where the 35 gay partygoers are now or the specific charges they face.
Four men were sent to prison in Egypt this week after being convicted of having had gay sex. There are no specific laws against same-gender sex in the country, but gay men are usually charged with debauchery. The four men were apparently arrested in a private apartment in March. One was sentenced to a 3-year prison term at hard labor, while the other three faced 4 years behind bars. Men in Egypt suspected of being gay are often sent to pathologists for so-called forensic testing. Such anal probes are common in the Middle East and North Africa to confirm homosexuality. But such procedures have been described by international human rights groups as torture and have no basis in science. It's not known if the four men sent to prison this week suffered such abuse. Anti-gay arrests have increased in the past few years as Egypt lurches from one political crisis to another. Police detained a man in August 2012 for leading a gay sex network, and later that year, vigilantes beat four young men for allegedly having sex in a car. The vigilantes were not charged, but the four young men were arrested. A highly publicized raid in Cairo last October netted more than a dozen men. International LGBT rights activist Scott Long wrote about the escalating anti-gay police actions in Egypt in a recent blog post, noting that it never hurts to announce that you've picked up a few suspected homosexuals. What better paints you, corrupt and immoral though you may be, as a defender of the nation's morals?
In better news for sexual minorities this week, an Italian court ordered the Tuscan city of Grosseto to recognize the marriage of a gay couple who legally wed in New York in 2012. Stefano Bucci and Giuseppe Cicchiotti took the municipality to court after officials refused to register their marriage. The court found that Italian jurisdictions must recognize any marriage that was legally conducted abroad because there is no reference to the genders of who can marry in the country's civil code. It's the first time that the legal marriage of a same-gender couple has been recognized in Italy. The couple said they went to court because they had no faith that Italian politicians, dominated by the Roman Catholic Church, would enact marriage equality legislation anytime soon. Reuters reported that Grosseto officials are planning to appeal the ruling.
A U.S. federal judge has ordered the state of Indiana to recognize the marriage of a lesbian couple legally wed in Massachusetts last year. One of the women, Nikki Quasney, has terminal ovarian cancer. She and her partner of 13 years, Amy Sandler, live in Munster, Indiana, and have two young daughters. The couple wanted their out-of-state marriage to be recognized in Indiana to ensure that Sandler can access the state and federal benefits available to surviving spouses and children. Sandler and Quasney are part of a bigger lawsuit challenging the state's ban on marriage equality. The LGBT advocacy group Lambda Legal asked the U.S. District Court in the Southern District of Indiana to hear their case on an emergency basis because of Quasney's deteriorating health. Judge Richard Young's order is good for 28 days, subject to review after that.
A three-judge panel of the 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals heard Utah's challenge this week to a district court ruling that declared the state's ban on marriage equality to be unconstitutional. Most observers who attended the hearing said two of the three judges are leaning toward upholding the lower court decision, but a ruling is not expected for several months. The losing party can appeal to the full 10th Circuit or directly to the Supreme Court. U.S. District Court Judge Robert J. Shelby ruled in December that Utah's ban on civil marriage for same-gender couples is unconstitutional. Eight other federal district court judges have come to the same conclusion since then, virtually all citing last June's Supreme Court Windsor decision that struck down provisions of the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA. That law prevented the federal government from recognizing legally married same-gender couples. A challenge to a district court ruling that struck down Oklahoma's state law defining civil marriage as exclusively heterosexual is scheduled to be heard by the same 10th Circuit three-judge panel in the coming week.
The Attorney General of the state of Virginia this week asked the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals to uphold a lower court ruling declaring his state's ban on civil marriage for lesbian and gay couples to be unconstitutional. Mark Herring said in papers filed this week that same-gender couples have the same right to marry as interracial heterosexual couples. Virginia statutes once banned such marriages until those laws were overturned by the Supreme Court's 1967 Loving decision. U.S. District Judge Arenda Wright Allen struck down Virginia's ban on civil marriage for gay and lesbian couples in February. A three-judge panel of the 4th Circuit is scheduled to hear oral arguments in the case on May 17th. There are only 5 U.S. states without court challenges to laws banning civil marriage for same-gender couples: Alaska, Georgia, Montana, North Dakota, and South Dakota. Lambda Legal's John Davidson told gay journalist Rex Walkner that there currently are 64 pending marriage equality lawsuits in the U.S., 43 in federal court, 9 of which are on appeal, and 21 in state courts, 5 of which are on appeal. Virtually everyone agrees that the U.S. Supreme Court will eventually be asked to issue a definitive ruling on the matter.
New LGBT-inclusive legislation to curb bullying in public schools was signed into law this week by Minnesota Governor Mark Dayton. 19 characteristics are listed, including sexual orientation, gender identity, disability, physical appearance, and economic class. The new legislation replaces a previous measure that required school districts in the state to have an anti-bullying policy, but lacked specifics or any enforcement provisions. It also required teachers and staff to be neutral when dealing with anti-LGBT-based harassment or bullying. The new Safe and Supportive Minnesota Schools Act, which comes into force later this year, requires school districts to train staff on how to recognize and react to bullying. Prevention programs to change behavior are favored over punishment. According to the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, or GLSEN, Minnesota has become the 16th U.S. state, along with Washington, D.C., to enact LGBT-inclusive anti-bullying laws.
And finally, the mayor and the City Council of Seattle, Washington, have expressed their support for a Boy Scout troop leader who was fired last month because he's gay. The regional body of the youth organization revoked the membership of Eagle Scout Jeff McGrath after officials learned about his sexual orientation when his troop was profiled on a network TV news program. In a letter to the organization's regional body, Seattle Mayor Ed Murray and City Council members called the dismissal deeply disturbing and said that it undermines the credibility of the Boy Scouts of America as a teacher of admirable values. The BSA began accepting openly gay youth for the first time this year, but continues to exclude anyone who's 18 or older and openly gay from adult leadership positions. McGrath is married to his longtime partner, and parents of the scouts in his troop know about his sexual orientation and don't care. He's been leading Seattle Troop 98 since its formation last year. McGrath has refused to step down. According to local media, only a troop's sponsoring organization, in this case the Rainier Beach United Methodist Church, can officially remove him from duty. Reverend Dr. Monica Corsaro, the church's leader, has made it clear that that won't happen. "It's very disappointing that a policy that is so blatantly discriminatory is being acted out," she said. "Jeffrey is our scoutmaster, and Jeffrey will remain our scoutmaster." A spokesperson for the BSA regional body in Seattle referred reporters asking about the conflict to the national office in Irving, Texas, which is yet to weigh in on the issue.
That's News Wrap for the week ending April 12, 2014. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and produced by Steve Pride.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. I'm Carol Myers.
And I'm Michael Allen.
Hello, I'm Armistead Maupin, author of Tales of the City, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international radio news magazine produced by, about, and for our sexually diverse communities and those who love them.
With a black crayon and some polyester batting fabric, you can help maintain history by rubbing it in. Find out how later in the program. Derek Gordon won't have to hide anymore, and that's a first for U.S. National Collegiate Athletic Association Division I basketball player. The University of Massachusetts sophomore publicly came out as gay in an interview this week with ESPN's Kate Fagan.
"You just told your teammates. Can you take us through what happened in that locker room, how you told them?"
"Well, my coach started it off first. He said we should start it off funny. So he said, I just wanted to let y'all know that I'm gay. And everybody looked at my coach surprised. Soon as I said it, nah, everybody wasn't surprised at all. So they was more like, about time you admit it. We've been beating your back end about it. And they was all just, it was all just like, all right, we're going to support you no matter what. We're going to be there for you. And this doesn't change anything. And that's what I want. I don't want them to feel that they have to act a different way around me or be a different way."
When did you first know that you are gay?
In middle school, I thought I was just going through a phase, honestly. Until high school came and my first year of college, and that's when I kind of figured I was starting to fight it a little bit, and I just thought, why fight it? Why not just go with it? Maybe this is who you really are. And at the end of the day, I want to be myself, and I don't want to hide and be somebody that I'm not.
What was it like hiding on a team? Like, what kinds of things were you saying and doing?
I used to lie to him, said I had a girlfriend, and man, I can't wait to go home and see my girlfriend and stuff like that, just to like keep them second guessing. Every time we traveled after a team practice or dinner, whatever we doing, people always used to notice that I used to sit by myself. They never wonder why though or anything. They just like, why is he by himself? But it's because I'm hiding. I don't want to do anything or put myself in a situation that y'all could find out.
How did you feel when Jason Collins came out to Sports Illustrated last year?
When he came out, I wanted to come out the next day. it was a relief, like about time, like finally it happened. But I still couldn't jump the gun because he wasn't in the NBA at the time when he came out. But when he went back, that's when I started to build a little more confidence. I watched he was getting subbed into a game, and everybody stood up and started clapping. And I was visualizing myself as that being me, but for college. And I just kept replaying it over and over and over again. But since when they're saying Jason Collins, I was saying Derek Gordon. And it definitely put a huge smile on my face. I'm not saying that. He's a great guy. I got a chance to talk to him and said that he's very proud of me. He said that he didn't expect nobody from Division I to be coming out this early. So he was just really giving me advice and just letting me know that if I ever need anything or need to talk to him about anything, that he's always going to be there for me. He gave me the confidence and the boost that I needed to put me over the top to coming out.
What, if any, concerns do you still have about being a college player, going into opposing arenas, and honestly, having put this out here?
Right now, there's no concerns, honestly. I'm in a state of mind where no word or anything can hurt me right now. I'm just so happy and just excited to finally put this out there and happy about my sexuality and just know that nothing is going to change as far as the basketball aspect. Yeah, there's going to be people out there that's going to say this and say that, but it's not going to affect me. I know who I am, and I'm happy who I am. Hopefully, I finally see a gay flag in the stands, which I ain't never seen before, so it's going to be interesting.
Knowing you had the secret, how has that affected your game up until this point?
I struggled a lot at the beginning of the season, and I'm not sure what it was. But after every game, I always had that thought in my mind, like I'm hiding. It was at times I cried because it was just, I was looking for answers and I wasn't getting them. And honestly, the way I feel now is honestly indescribable. I just feel like a bunch of weight has just been lifted off my shoulders and I can fly, but not literally.
What is it that makes it so hard to be dealing with processing your sexuality and playing a Division I sport?
People think that gays shouldn't be allowed to play sports, or they're too soft, or this and that. From the looks of it, I know Michael Sam isn't soft and Jason Collins isn't, so, and for one, I'm not soft, and I think people misinterpret that when it comes to being gay. It doesn't have nothing to do with how you perform on the court, and that's what I try to that's what I'm trying to do. I'm still going to play the same. I'm still going to be the beast guy that I am, but my sexuality is just different.
That was University of Massachusetts basketball player Derek Gordon in an interview with ESPN's Kate Fagan. As is often the case, he also said family members had different initial reactions, but that they all now fully support him. Two U.S. sports legends reacted to the news while on a panel at this week's LBJ Civil Rights Summit at the Lyndon Baines Johnson Presidential Library in Austin, Texas. National Basketball Association Hall of Famer and pro basketball's first African-American coach Bill Russell said of the negative responses to LGBT athletes,
"It seems to me, it may not be a good correlation, but a lot of questions they asked about gay athletes were essentially the same questions they used to ask about us,
absolutely,
the black athletes."
Absolutely.
You know.
And National Football League great, actor, activist, and domestic violence convict Jim Brown added his perspective.
You know, I don't can't get into the religious aspect of it or to the sexual aspect of it. It's that I look for the, as you said earlier, the character of a person. And that's good enough for me because I have my own things I got to deal with.
I don't have to answer everything.
Bill Russell and Jim Brown on Being Out in Sports.
You're listening to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine brought to you by you. Your charitable donations keep this program on the air. We've produced some special CDs to say thank you to our supporters, featuring queer history, reviews of LGBT music, and behind-the-scenes looks at relevant movies and TV shows. You can also get CDs of our regular program by subscription, and be sure you never miss a week of This Way Out. For all the details, please visit our website at thiswayout.org.
No matter where you are in the world, you can participate in a hands-on LGBT history project. Our Steve Fried has the how-to details.
I'm Stephen Rains, a poet living in Los Angeles. I moved to Los Angeles about 8 years ago. I've published two collections of poetry. I've edited an anthology, and I have a handful of chapbooks. I also teach writing workshops, and I like to combine activism, education, and art, as well as connect people with information. That's what I try to do with any piece of writing, and it's also what I've done with this project, The Gay Rub.
Well, what is a rub? And does it cost extra?
Depends on who you go to. But in this instance, The Gay Rub is a collection of rubbings from GLBTQ landmarks across the globe. And as a poet, as someone who's in touch with language, you know, it couldn't just be a bland title. So I came up with the title The Gay Rub. And it was because of all of the connotations of the word rub. Rub is could be sexual slang, isn't to rub one out. Rub could also mean social friction when people talk. You know, someone would say like, oh, they got a lot of rub for that. It could also mean rubbing, which in this case it does. I also think that as queer people, we've been rubbed out of history. And I wanted to create a way to share our public commemorative markers, to gather them all together and display them at one time. And by doing so, I think it's a way of showing what people and what landmarks get attention and recognition, and what people get omitted, what kind of people get omitted as well.
Well, what was the genesis of this?
I came up with the idea about 4 years ago and started collecting right away the rubbings. I live in West Hollywood, and about a mile away from my house at Crescent Heights and Santa Monica Boulevard, there's a plaque dedicated to honoring trans people who have been victims of violence. And I was told that it was the first plaque in the country. And I felt really fortunate to live in West Hollywood and have this so close. Public markers bring about a feeling of legitimizing our experience and honoring it. And I thought how great it must be for people to walk by that every day and see it and read it, and how powerful it is that the city was sponsoring this and they thought it was valuable. And I started to wonder how many markers are out there talking about or dedicated to the queer experience. And then I started to incorporate gravestones as well, because I think it also is an interesting way of how our history has been documented and how people choose to document themselves, how people are recognized posthumously, you know, in grave markers.
We talk about the participatory nature of this, because I love the fact that it's just not one sad man going around with a pen and some, you know, charcoal or whatever. But you've made this kind of a huge project.
The scope of the project is worldwide, and I like the idea of including people. And it wasn't just about me and what I thought was important, but I wanted everyone's input to see, like, what markers they knew of. We walk past these things, they become a part of our everyday scenery, and we don't really take note. And just if we would pause just for a moment and just actually read what's written on the plaque, I think that it's incredibly moving. And I'm always surprised for myself how emotional it is to actually do the rubbing. To rub a landmark, to rub someone's gravestone, is such a loving act. You know, most all of these are outside, and so that they endure climate conditions. And I remember Sylvester's was really important to me. Sylvester, the disco star, Sylvester James. And when I went to his grave, it was overgrown and there was like a tree branch on it. And every time I do a rubbing, I clear it off. And so everyone who's participated in the gay rub, when they leave, you know, a marker, it's left in better condition than when they were found.
What kind of feedback do you get from the participants?
Everyone has a story, actually. Like, everyone has a really entertaining story. And there is a sense of adventure to this. People are going to landmarks or locations they haven't been to before. A lot of people have gone when they're traveling, that they've taken rubbing supplies with them. And so it's a different way to experience a city. In the past 4 years, I've spent more time in cemeteries than I have, you know, totaling my whole life. And I was able to witness how people mourn. And that was really interesting, just to spend some time in cemeteries. It was also interesting to see the choices of how family members chose to honor the deceased. And I'm concerned about gay erasure that happens when people die. One person who is part of the rubbing is Alvin Ailey. And Alvin asked his doctor when he died if his AIDS diagnosis would not be disclosed. And it was a way for his mother to not feel shame.
We've lost so many people to AIDS.
The loss is devastating. When people talk about the enormous impact of AIDS in our community for gay men, it's very apparent when looking at some of these markers and how many talented people we've lost from AIDS.
What about the people who are still closeted or hadn't self-identified when they died?
One of the challenges is, by being included in the gay rub, you know, how does one ensure that the person whose marker or headstone that I've rubbed, that they were actually gay? I want to be as accurate as possible, yet due to gay erasure, due to homophobia and how our history has not been adequately documented, it is challenging sometimes what one's lifestyle actually was.
Give me the rub on the rub. How's it actually done?
Through this project, I feel as if I've really become a rubbing expert. And the only time I had done a rub before was at sixth grade summer camp. And I'm not even so sure I connected with it deeply. But since then, you know, I've done so many rubbings that I've become really quite skilled at it. And the process itself is really quite easy. The product that I recommend people use is just a black crayon, because charcoal smudges and crayon's super easy to use. It's really easy to find a black crayon. It's very accessible. I've mailed a lot of supplies out to people so they can mail them back. I'm still receiving rubbings. I'm still collecting them, and I would like it to keep going.
This has been a conversation with Stephen Raines. Find more information about The Gay Rub online at
thegayrub.com. Also on my website, stephenraines.com. That's Stephen with a V, Raines, R-E-I-G-N-S.
This is Steve Pride. Thanks for listening. Thank you.
Tune in Tuesday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. for The Melting Pot, featuring DJs, producers, and electronic artists from around the globe. Win tickets and stay up on events each and every Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. on The Melting Pot, right here at 90.7 FM KBOO.
KBOO is looking for a membership director. Duties include database management, conducting mailings, producing reports, assisting members managing pledge drives, and of course, working closely with other staff members here at the station. The ability to work with numerous people in a fast-paced environment is essential. This is a mix of part-time and full-time work, with 40 hours per week being required leading up to, during, and following each membership drive. A full benefit package is included. KBOO is an equal opportunity employer and affirmative action employer. Women and people of color are encouraged to apply. Our organization does not discriminate on the basis of age, race, religion, color, sex, national origin, marital status, sexual orientation, class, creed, physical or mental disability. For a more detailed job description and printable job application, go to kboo.fm, search for hiring, H-I-R-I-N-G. And to apply, please send a resume via email to hiring, H-I-R-I-N-G, at kboo.org. The application deadline is 5 p.m. on Wednesday, April 30th, 2014.
The time is 7:03. You are listening to KBOO Portland, and Hard Knock Radio is next.
Yo, this is M1 from Dead Prez.
Hey, what's up? This is Boots from The Coup.
Nah, I mean, telling you to stay tuned to Hard Knock Radio.
Keep it locked.
On the move, this is Pam Africa on Hard Knock Radio, the station of resistance. Down with this rotten-ass system.
Yo, check this out. Hard Knock Radio coming at you, bringing the noise. This is Chuck D, Public Enemy number one. News, views, and hip-hop.
Peace and love. This is Azeem. You're listening to Hard Knock Radio. Real radio. From the concrete up. All the way to the sun. Keep shining, y'all. One love.
What's up, folks? This is your girl Femi representing the whole Bay Area. I'm here on Hard Knock Radio. News, views, and hip-hop. Stay tuned.
There's no in between. You're either free or you're a slave. There's no such thing as second-class citizenship.
And you would know that in order for us to win, in order for us to really build a movement, the non-poverty industrial complex must die. You would know that that is what is killing our people. You would know that movement has been translated into professional non-profitism.
We need to understand that our enemies are not necessarily those individuals who have a lighter skin than us. That's not the basis of our principal opposition. Obama is the worst thing that happened to black people since Reconstruction. I call him the political antichrist. He's the political antichrist. And we need to understand this. And when we look at it, listen to Obama, when this charade just went on, when this charade just went on Capitol Hill with the March on Washington and all the presidents were getting up there talking about the civil rights movement, Obama stood up and said that in the 60s, there was legitimate grievances against police brutality. But there were certain individuals that used those legitimate grievances for criminal activity. Now, who was he talking about? He was talking about the Black Panther Party, but he wouldn't say Black Panther Party, because if he did, that opens up the whole thing. Who was the real criminals? J. Edgar Hoover or the Black Panther Party? Who? We have to understand that they are redefining the history of radical struggle in this country by denigrating our movements, by marginalizing our movements. And we have to resurrect those movements into a new coalition and with a new fervor to oppose the police state.
It's just sad and it's heartbreaking. And to a lot of people who see this, it doesn't look like much, but it is all these people had. And it's just frustrating for people to come and say, you know, we'll just trash it because it's all trash. And this is their life. I'm saying, well, if it took her 60 years to build up trash, and right now when you see all of this, you can't even think about a tomorrow because we're just trying to get through it today.
This is Michael Eric Dyson when I'm in the Oakland, Berkeley, San Francisco area, and I want to hear the real deal. I listen to her.
What we're going to do right here is go back. What we're going to do right here is go back. Way back. Back into time.
Davey D hanging out with you. We are here at the Capitol here in Denver, Colorado. It is the anti-war march, and we are here with Green Party presidential candidate Cynthia McKinney. How are you?
Always happy to see you, David D.
Well, it's good to see you. What was the march like this morning, and how are your feelings about the things that are going on today?
Well, I think it's a wonderful idea for us to bring it face-to-face with the delegates from the Democratic Party. And to remind them that they basically have failed to reflect the values of the people who really are their grassroots supporters. Of course, we are here to express our dissent. We dissent from the rollback of civil liberties. We dissent from their policies on war, on social injustice, their failure to address income inequality in this country, the Bush tax cuts, the Patriot Acts, and so on and so forth. But more than anything else, $720 million every day for war, $500 billion every year goes to the Pentagon, and yet we've got cities that are going into receivership. We've got students graduating from college, hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. It's clearly a case of misplaced priorities.
You know, as I came over here, I noticed earlier there was an anti-war rally, and they all seem to be focusing on their opposition to Obama and the Democrats, the same as you guys at this anti-war rally. Is there any common ground between you all? It seemed like they took a very racist and divisive approach, yet they seem to have the same target in mind.
Well, they might have the same target, but for obviously vastly different reasons. We have zero tolerance for racism in any way, shape, or form. However, the fact of the matter is...